The good news according to St. Matthew.
Glory.
I read from Matthew chapter 22. And again, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son and sent his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding feast, but they would not come. Again, he sent other servants, saying, 'Tell those who were invited, see, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his servants, treated them shamefully, and killed them. The king was angry, and he sent his troops and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. And then he said to his servants, 'The wedding feast is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the main roads and invite to the wedding feast as many as you find.' And those servants went out into the roads and gathered all whom they found, both bad and good. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to look at the guests, he saw there a man who had no wedding garment. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bring him hand and foot and cast him into the utter darkness. And in that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" The Gospel of the Lord. As Randy mentioned, my message this morning will be based upon the Old Testament reading there from Isaiah 25. I'd like to read a portion of that again. "On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wines. On this mountain, he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation." Please bow your heads and pray with me as we begin our message here this morning. Gracious Father, we come before you here this morning seeking relief, seeking peace, seeking joy. In our times of pain, sadness, frustration. And so, Lord, we ask that you give us now a deep faith in you, knowing that you have prepared a future heavenly feast for each of us. We pray through Jesus. Amen. You know, in the Old Testament, a feast often was a picture of eternal life in heaven. And someday, one day, you and I will all be honored guests at our very own heavenly feast. We'll dine there on eternal, mouth-watering blessings. Isaiah wrote in this passage, "The Lord will swallow up death forever." What's that mean? How's that going to be? Well, let's consider Jesus' death and his resurrection here just for a minute. Which do you think was stronger? Which was more final? Jesus' death or his resurrection? Was his death final? Go like this. No, it wasn't final at all. What happened on the third day, 2 days later after he died? He rose again. He came back to life. So in a sense, his resurrection was final. Now consider your own death in the future. Is that going to be the end? No. Because you're going to have life just as Jesus had life, as you believe in your Lord and your Savior. Now, someday you may read in the obituary section of the paper that Pastor Dennis Bourne has died. Don't you believe it. Not for a minute, because the day I die, I'm going to be more alive than I am right now, standing here in front of you. You buy that?
Amen.
Think about that. Now, how can I say that? Well, I was born on December 4th, back in 19... and about a month later, December 31st, I was baptized. And in my baptism, I was given the start of my eternal life in heaven. Now, someday, probably not too far down the road here, my body will die. But my soul, my being will not die. It's going to live on. It will never die. And God's going to throw this amazing homecoming feast just for me. And He's going to do the same for you. Just like He did for your husband a few days ago. And your dad. Paul once quoted Hosea, who sarcastically asked this question, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?" Thanks be to God, He gave us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I think I've probably told you about this, I don't know, but my sister was killed in a car accident when she was 17 years old, many years ago. And I remember my dad saying, "You know, we're sad. Not for Shirley, for my sister, but for ourselves. And it's okay to be sad when a loved one dies. That's okay. Was Jesus sad when Lazarus died? Absolutely. But in addition to our sadness, we can focus on God's comfort, on His promise of this great homecoming feast that He has prepared for us. You see, the death for a Christian is really like a peace treaty. Because when one dies, then there are no more wars. There are no more battles. There's no more pain, no more frustration, no more tears, sadness. No negatives in heaven. It's a peace treaty. In about 6 months from now, we're going to celebrate Easter. And how are we going to greet each other on Easter Sunday morning? I know we're going to say, Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. But we're also going to probably greet each other with, Happy Easter. Happy Easter. We're not going to focus on sadness that day. We're not going to focus on any Easter pain or suffering. Seems to me that Easter and happiness, joy, are synonymous. They're the same. Easter's a time of rejoicing. Not because everything in life makes us happy, because we know that's not the case. I mean, my family and I were not happy when my sister was killed. But we did have this deep-seated joy because we knew that she was where? Celebrating her homecoming feast. There with Jesus in heaven. Some time ago, before I retired, I was leading a worship service, an afternoon worship service at a nursing home, and I preached kind of on this topic here about heaven and the joy and the future, relief and all of that sort of thing. And after the service, I kind of went around and greeted everybody who was seated there, many in wheelchairs. And I came to this lady in a wheelchair, and I said, "So how are you doing this afternoon?" "Terrible. Not good at all. I hurt all over. They make me take all these medications. The food here is terrible. The staff, they're mean. And I'm lonely. Nobody comes to see me." And on and on and on she went.
And I felt sorry for that lady. I realized my sermon hadn't done a diddly worth anything for her, apparently. But I just felt sorry for her. I just wish that she could see in faith beyond her current situation. And I haven't been in a nursing home, so I can't speak to that. I imagine it's terrible, but whatever. We have to look beyond these things. I remember when I worked overseas with the military, I would just out of the blue, occasionally, well, frequently, hear a soldier say, "Short, 67 days. Short, 13 days, 4 hours, 2 minutes. What were they talking about? Going home. They couldn't wait to go home to mom's feast that she was going to prepare for her son or for her daughter. They were just so excited. They couldn't wait. Do you like to wait? I don't always like to wait for things. Especially if I need relief from, I don't know, pain or something. I want it now. It's hard to wait. But wouldn't it be great if on a daily basis we could be excited about our future? That future homecoming? Just get excited. Short! Now, I wouldn't necessarily take our problems away, but it seems to me that it'd be a whole lot easier to get through our problems, wouldn't it? Because you and I can have peace today. We can have comfort now. Because we know that there will be relief. There is relief in the future for our pains and our struggles there in that feast, that homecoming feast in heaven. The problem is, it seems to me, is that too often we let today's problems and frustrations just kind of suck the joy right out of us. We get so tied up in the here and now that we just can't see our future. The woman in the nursing home was living as though she had died, that she was dead before she died. I felt sorry for her. There was a newspaper in Galveston, Texas, that had written an article about this woman and her parakeet, Chippy. This woman one day was cleaning Chippy's birdcage, and she had the vacuum cleaner sucking up the stuff in the bottom of the birdcage there, and the phone rang. Well, she picked, "Hello?" And about that time, she knew exactly what had happened. She hung up the phone. She shut off the vacuum cleaner. She ripped open the bag, and there was poor Chippy down there in all the dust and the dirt and the garbage in the bottom of this bag. Well, this lady grabbed the poor little Chippy, took her over to the bathroom, turned on the hot water on the full bore in the sink there, and held little Chippy under the sink, and poor Chippy just about drowned with that. Then the lady took her hair dryer, full bore, hot as could be, and dried Chippy off. A few weeks later, this same reporter who had originally written this story came back just to see how Chippy was doing. The woman says, "Well, Chippy just doesn't sing anymore. Chippy just kind of sits there and stares." Unfortunately, I think that describes you and me too often in our life. We don't sing much when we have these problems. We just sit there and stare. We just sit there and stare. Well, Isaiah's picture of this homecoming feast is for all of us chippies during our times of, you know, when we've been sucked through the mill, life blows us, whatever. Eric Barker was a missionary from Great Britain to Portugal, and he served some 50 years there, back when times were, well, it was kind of perilous. And during World War II, it got so bad that they suggested, the church suggested that he he sent his family back to England. And so he took his wife and 8 kids, his sister and 3 children, they were there also accompanying on the mission field, and put them on a ship to go back to England. He stayed and continued with his work. The next Sunday, just before the worship service, he announced to the people that his family had arrived home safely. And he carried on with the worship service. And it wasn't until later that they understood the full meaning of what he had just said. The ship that they were on was torpedoed, and there were no survivors. I can't imagine him doing that. I don't think I could stand up here and preach a sermon. As a father, as a husband, as a father, as a brother, as an uncle, his whole family were where? And that's what could keep him going, because he knew they believed in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and they were rejoicing, his family was rejoicing in heaven. And that's what could keep him going, even though that telegram that he had just received had just flipped his life totally upside down. I know that right now, many of you are going through some very tough times. I understand that. You've lost a loved one recently. You're going through some illness, cancer, whatever, heart. You maybe have financial difficulties, maybe retirement's tough. Maybe there's some marital problems, some family problems, whatever they might be, I don't know. And your joy has just been sucked right out of you. But you know what? You don't have to live in an if only world. If only my husband were back, my dad were back. If only they could cure my cancer. If only I could get a better job. If only we could get along in our family. If only this or that. We don't have to live there like that lady in the nursing home, as though she had no hope, as though life were over. Life is not over. It's not over. Because life for a believer is never over. It's never over, and it takes faith to believe that. Faith, you see, helps us to get through these tough times. Faith helps us to see things differently. Faith brings hope into our lives. Faith lifts us. It lifts us so that we will never, ever, ever be defeated. Faith brings us relief. It does. It brings us hope. It brings us peace and joy today, in spite of the problems, because we know that Jesus has prepared this future, this great future heavenly feast for us, and we can't wait. Yesterday at the LWML rally here, one of the speakers, I think it was during the Bible study being led, was talking about this very thing. And Jeanette, not my wife, not knowing what I was going to preach on today, she leaned over to me and she says, "I can't wait. I can't wait." How about you? Amen. Amen. We pray. Oh, merciful God, your Son Jesus has overcome all our problems. He's even defeated death, Lord. And so we have life, life today, life forever. And Lord, bless us with such faith that none of our daily burdens will hinder us from seeing the glory of that feast that you've prepared for us in eternity. We pray, Lord, through our living Savior Jesus. Amen.